Last year, for instance, during the Libyan crisis, we provided evacuation assistance to about 250,000 migrant workers, with many more returning home out of their own volition. So it's an issue that comes over and over again, and we think that more attention needs to be drawn to the needs of migrants who are caught up in conflicts, man-made disasters, or if it comes to that, also in times of natural disasters.
You do say that they need a comprehensive and long-term help. Who is supposed to provide these migrants with help? Is it the governments where they have gone, or their own host governments where they come from?
All hands on board are welcome when it comes to providing the return or the reintegration assistance. If you look at the Libyan crisis last year, yes, we were successful in evacuating about 250,000 stranded migrant workers from Libya, but many of them returned home to countries like Chad, Niger. Both countries last year received about 100,000 of their nationals. Those migrant workers were returning to areas that were facing food insecurity, areas where unemployment is endemic. Families were no longer benefiting from the remittances, the money sent by those migrant workers. So those countries and those families also need assistance. And there again, we are not very successful as the international community in mobilizing funds and focusing the attention on the needs of those migrants who are usually returning home empty-handed.
We have seen in many places, Libya, migrants were the first to be attacked. In the countries where there is a lot of economic crisis, migrants are being blamed for the economic crisis. Where does this leave migrants? Who is supposed to protect them?
Migrants, you're right, are usually stuck between a rock and a hard place. You mentioned Libya. Yes, migrants, even prior to the conflict last year, were having a very difficult time in Libya. Most of them were undocumented migrants, and therefore, without proper papers, without proper work contracts, they were very vulnerable to many forms of abuse. During the conflict, they were particularly stigmatized because of their perceived association to rebel groups that were fighting alongside the forces of Colonel Gaddafi. In Europe too, the economic downturn, the increased unemployment rates, especially among young people in countries like Spain and Italy, unemployment rate for the year less than 25 in both countries, or in Greece is about 55-56%. This has basically reinforced stigmatization against those migrants. The current downturn means that there's very little understanding and very little appetite for migration, and migrants are in Europe very often stigmatized and made responsible for a situation for which they have nothing to do with. So again, a lot of public education is needed, and more importantly, to underline the overwhelmingly positive contributions of migrants, even in countries that are affected by the economic downturn, because again, those migrants are usually filling some of the jobs that the nationals do not want to fill. And those countries also need highly skilled migrants, simply because in today's world of mobility, European countries, for instance, are also losing some of their skilled, qualified young professionals who are going global and finding jobs elsewhere outside of Europe.
There's the issue of migrants making very perilous journeys to move from their countries to where they think they can get economic opportunities. What is IOM doing, or what kind of programs do you have to ensure that these perilous journeys at least are come down?
Well, we have a variety of programs in all parts of the world, starting with prevention. In other words, in many countries of origin or transit, we're putting out information campaigns, not to say to people, do not migrate, but to say to people, if you want to migrate, try and make an informed choice. Do not trust an intermediary who might be a rogue intermediary who will basically put your life at risk and suddenly take your money and leave you stranded in countries of transit. We also provide a lot of protection and assistance to migrants in countries where they are living very much in a destitute fashion. Think of Yemen, for instance. Today, out of Yemen, we are airlifting another 200 Ethiopian migrants who've been living in desperate situations along the border between Yemen and Saudi Arabia. And of course, we also need to look at the other aspect of human smuggling and trafficking, which is very much an enforcement role, which we do not obviously take part in. But one has to recognize today that migrant smuggling, migrant trafficking are extremely lucrative activities for those who organize and benefit from migrant trafficking and migrant smuggling, but they're also low-risk activities because, again, in many parts of the world, the legislation is not up to par, and people smugglers and people traffickers get away with, in some cases, the worst possible crimes. So a lot of emphasis need to be put also on the enforcement side and the prosecution side for those human smugglers and traffickers.